Episode 5 of the Sports Blizzard, everybody. Well, we're going to have some fun today. There's some people that made the list in the last few days, and we're going for broke on some of them. The Sports Blizzard is brought to you by Miller Lite. If you're drinking beer, make sure you're drinking Miller Lite. If you're drinking beer and you're not drinking Miller Lite, make sure you're drinking Yards, and we're looking at them right from atop our beautiful Northern Liberty studio right there on 5th and Spring Garden. Beautiful new facility. If you haven't been over there, check it out. They do tours on weekends. Of course, our friends over in Fishtown at Stateside Vodka. Premium vodka brewed and distilled. Excuse me. I think it's distilled, not brewed. Beer is brewed. Vodka is distilled. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
Right here in beautiful Fishtown section of Philadelphia. Also, Bucks County Baseball Company. I hear you guys sent their website off the charts over the weekend with their Cyber Monday special. We appreciate that. JP, thanks for giving all of our clients 25% off everything in the store. We appreciate that. 422 Jeep Limerick. Don't forget about our friend Mike McVeigh right off of the 422 bypass. If you're heading out from Philadelphia, it's towards Pottstown. Take a right, take a left, go to the end, talk to Mike. He'll be talking sports. He'll be coming out with a brand new Jeep. Don't forget about all the Cavanaugh's restaurants. Cavanaugh's River Deck, which is closed for the season. Head House, which is right off of South Street. Rittenhouse between 18th and 19th on Sansom Street. Our good friend Paul, bartending in the basement. And again, Diaz, thank God he's not here today. Our old stomping ground at 39th and Sansom. And our friend Brian Pavlicek running the Cavanaugh's up there as well. You see the Delilah's girls in force, full force at our tailgate. They were looking good. Don't forget to go over and visit our good friends at Delilah's and those beautiful ladies. Of course, all of our friends in Manayunk, Bourbon Blue at the bottom of the hill, number 2 Rector Street. At the top of the hill, you got the Bayou and Cactus, and our friends at the Manayunk Sport and Social Club as well. Don't forget about our good friend Ken Davies and all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and Market East. Boys, with me today, Diaz is over at the game. I guess something about the Knicks turned him on.
Turncoat.
Yeah, a little bit of a bad. He sent us a message earlier. Hey, do you want me to call in? I'm like, dude, we got to listen to you scream in the microphone here. Now you're going to be at another decibel level calling us from the arena?
You didn't see what I said. Only if you're going to put Markelle Fultz on, you guys both crying to the mic next to us.
Yeah, right? Seriously. But we do have the big dog, Hollis Thomas, next to him. After calling in a couple weeks in a row, and we certainly have a big show coming up after this. We've got Rob Valiva sitting in on this panel today as well.
I'm very happy with your live reads there. Very impressed with this.
Thank you. And as well, our good friend Rex. Pop's going to be here in a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to be
running a little bit late.
Let me start.
The Philadelphia Flyers, it's our year, volume 48. Oh my God! Okay, so let's make this perfectly clear. All right, we make fun of the Flyers on the show regularly, and it's simply by not giving them any billing whatsoever. It's same chapter, different verse. My man Wesley Snipes and White Men Can't Jump. Same chapter, different verse, baby. But I mean, this is just
horrible.
This is a billboard of everything that has been wrong with this organization from the very beginning. It's every bit of the mentality that Ed Snyder put into the heads of these individuals running the show. It's the inmates running the asylum still. And I mean, we're going to spend some time on the Flyers. As a matter of fact,
I know what you're saying. It was like I haven't been in throughout the history of that, and I've only been able to grasp a little bit of that. But sometimes you have to go outside the organization to get a fresh pair of eyes on organization to even get better. And what I've seen over the years of just playing here and being here, I like hockey because I grew up watching the St. Louis Blues. Brian Federico and all those guys, but it's like when I actually realized how to play hockey. I don't know how to play, but I realized.
I would love to see your ass on a pair of ice.
That's what I was getting away from. When I realized the rules and stuff, I found myself getting into it more, and then I saw us getting our ass kicked way more than we should. And then what he called, he kind of took the Sam Hinkie approach to building Hextall. But when you fire him, you got to fire the coach too. because the coach at college was a fiery son of a buck.
We're going to get to Hackstall in a moment.
Okay, I just want to get let you know.
We know and bare bone in this thing. First, talent evaluation on this team
it
sucks. And if anybody thinks Holmgren is good at it,
no.
Well, you've drafted 12 goalies over the last 13 years, and you still don't fucking have one.
Do you know the major problem with the Flyers? The major problem with the Flyers is that if you bring up their website of everyone that's in scouting and player development and vice president of operations, they're all former Flyers. What the
Flyers
hell?
Family.
They need to get rid of everybody from Holmgren.
It's incestual.
Holmgren got a lifetime job when Ed Snyder died. Bobby Clark's son works for the organization. Bobby Clark works. Hextall's
Bobby Clark's
son.
Daughter works for the
like,
organization.
They all should listen. They're all great players. They're Hall of Famers. They're all this.
They were. Their hockey skills were limited. They took two championships by force. There was no fucking hockey in that whatsoever.
But what I'm saying
they beat the snot out of everybody, and you had a goalie that was standing on his head.
They shouldn't be involved in building the Flyers, and that's the problem. They're not going to get better. I hoped when Ed Snyder passed away, not that I want him to pass away, but once he passed away that everything would change, and it's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing all the time, and that's the problem.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like watching the Dallas Cowboys. That's our Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
did Jerry Jones felt like he could put anybody in charge, which he did for a couple of years. Yeah. But once the talent runs out, it's somebody else has to evaluate the talent. And this is the thing that that cracks me up all the time with these types of situations, because you always get a dickhead as an owner who said I could put any Yahoo in charge of this shit and it'll go great. But then it's like the Yahoo that you had in charge that was making you money. He's the one who evaluated the talent, gets you the people in there that could do things the right way. See, once those people get a little longer than two, and it's time for them to move on, and it's time for you to reevaluate the talent, you start putting fuck sticks in there. Excuse the language.
That's okay.
You start putting these jackoffs in there and people who you favor, and they start messing up, and you realize that you needed the person that was in charge more than you knew.
What? Nothing about their approach to the game has worked.
Well, yeah, that's what he was saying.
You know, it's the same. You know, they how long did it take them till they started drafting European players or signing European players?
Five, six years ago.
They didn't want to do for the longest time.
Jágr when he was 40.
Yeah.
Well, you know what their biggest miscalculation was? Not keeping Bobrovsky. The guy leaves, goes to Columbus, and wins two Vezina trophies. I'm like, that was the goalie. But like, after a year, Ed Snyder's got to go get the Space Cadet that we're still paying right now. He has one more. It's like who's the guy, the Bobby Bonilla day that, you know, he goes to the Mets for the next 5 years. He still gets a contract. We're still paying the guy. The guy. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But we paid all that guy that was the.
It was Brzgalov way back.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. We're still paying him. He has one more year. We're still paying him.
Oh, God.
I didn't know it.
We would
have got him, but he was like, I think we overpaid for him, and then he came in and stunk up the joint.
And he was crazy.
Yeah.
You can be good and be crazy. You can't be bad and be crazy.
One thing that I found not until the last year or two is that how much Flyers fans defend every decision they make. So when you're putting out a crappy product and your fans are so loyal that they don't even see that it's crappy.
It's almost like a cult.
It is. It's like the Cowboys,
saying. Well, the difference is with the Cowboys is – It's only the Philly fans that are blindly following them. I know some people that are from down there that refuse to buy another piece of Cowboy apparel until Jerry Jones dies.
Because people in Dallas are
not a bad deal.
People.
Yeah, people in Dallas they hate the fans here. And then, you know, I was doing the show on WIP from the damn airport. You know, I had to run in with some janky ass Dallas fans. Are you kidding? It was like some chubby chick talking about some bow down there. I was about to say I don't use the word bitch that often, but I was about to splurge on it because it was like, you guys won two games. What the hell are you talking about? It's like y'all won two playoff games. And peep this though, I couldn't get out what I wanted to say because I was laughing at their gear because they had like the first starter gear from back in the 90s, and one guy had on an Emmitt Smith.
Dust it off.
It's coming out, baby.
But, you know, it kind of goes to what, and I was just talking about somebody about the Sixers, about what they should do with Markelle Fultz. I was like, you already created a laughing stock with having to fire Colangelo.
Yeah.
Then on top of this, you got this young kid here who did not earn a spot on the starting roster. And then when you start taking his playing time, he starts bitching up about his shoulder and stuff, and then act like he's hurt instead of manning up and going out there and taking the spot back. And then you're trying to let him run, and so you're trying to get people to come in here. Money is not the issue in the NBA. You can go wherever the hell you want in the NBA. If the organization is not doesn't seem like they're trying to win or got a handle on shit, then I'm not coming there. I'm not coming to this shit show.
They should trade him to Sacramento.
You know, no, fuck trading him. I'll cut his ass. I don't. It's like at this point with the stuff that's went on this past summer with the star hunting and the crap show that's been going on, I would just cut him. Just cut my losses.
I still think they're gonna try to trade him for something. Yeah, a box of hammers, whatever.
Yeah, I don't.
They should cut him, but they're gonna try and trade him so they get something.
I don't give a damn. But that's the thing. You look weaker trying to trade him for something, trying to get something for him. It's like if I don't
know about that.
I don't give a
fuck. There's nothing that's gonna make it look worse than it already is.
Now, keeping him around, let him be around.
On the off chance that he's gonna get you a high second round pick because he starts going playing 18 minutes a game and going
or he gets,
4-10.
Or he gets hurt and you're stuck with him.
Yeah.
Or he's like he's on the sideline. He's on the sideline with everybody's pure jubilation. And he's like, slap hands. And everybody's looking at him like, you're not part of this. You are not. Right. I don't know if you caught that when we came back. We won the Brooklyn Nets game. And he was over there like, he was hand up. And everybody was like,
well, once he gets out, you don't listen anymore. He never could play for the Sixers again. No. I wanted the guy to succeed. And we pretty much babied the kid compared to how we normally baby
athletes. You haven't met me, have you? No. I didn't give a fuck if he came here or not. No. I didn't want him in the first place.
No.
He was 9-22 in college. You can't tell me the best college player is 9-22 in college.
Well, Ben Simmons at LSU, they weren't good.
They were 17-12. That's not 9-22.
Okay.
And they were being asked to go to the tournament.
Yeah.
What, did you hear them asking Washington to go to the tournament?
No.
Okay. All they talk about is he had one shiny moment against Lonzo Ball. One moment. Not the winning of the game, one moment. And you get here and you talk about he's got the yips. No, he sucks. He sucks ass to the high heavens. He's not a first round pick. We wasted money and time on it. And you give him the spot and then he gets to take it from him by TJ Connell.
Who is a
serviceable player?
Yeah,
serviceable.
And there's nothing wrong with TJ.
But you know what? I mean, what's his field goal percentage is pretty good. He just doesn't get an opportunity to take very many shots.
Well, but he says he's a point guard. He's facilitating people.
Yeah.
He's out there playing defense. He's doing what you need as a bench, as coming off the bench. He's
hustle,
and he's giving you that spark.
Yeah. He goes in for 8-10 minutes, does his thing, comes out, and he's good. And I think Markel got real pissed about that too when he came.
Well, see when he took those minutes from him in that one game, and if you look at the way he's nonchalant and stuff, like he's got like everything is sweet. You have to put these motherfuckers on notice that you earn your keep here. Yeah. You don't. I'm not giving you shit. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with the Flyers.
Yep.
That's what's wrong with the Phillies, and that's what was wrong with the Eagles until they start putting them on notice. You have to earn your keep. You know how many times when I was playing, I used to be looking every fucking Tuesday to see who was working out. To see if they was working out somebody in my position. You had to be put on notice. You can't just think you got it. You got it sweet. That's what's wrong with the cats. Because you see him walking around there. He's playing, still playing behind the camera and shit. He don't realize, don't nobody fucking like him here. You're not playing here. You're not earning your keep.
He doesn't get it. You have to
earn your keep.
He seems, I don't know how we got off. This is why I can't run around because if I do, you guys get off the Flyers, and I'm not done with those fuckers.
I know we just going back to it, but we got off that because we was talking about earning your keep, basically.
Well, and in regards to Fultz, which we're going to get to again, I think he's an emotional child. He seems like he has the fortitude of a 6-year old.
Yeah. And it's you can't have that given to somebody that much money.
No.
And it's like you playing with, put it this way, okay. It would be cool if he was in high school, right? High school or college. But right now you're dealing with people who are the guys in their last years, and you telling me that I have to wait on a fucking kid before we're gonna try to go for a title. Are we gonna try to get in the playoffs? I have to wait. Fuck you, I'm gonna go somewhere else. This is what it is. It's like, if you're trying to rebuild, I'm not trying to come fuck with you. And then if you're trying to rebuild and you don't look like you know what the hell you're doing, why would I come in?
Right. Well, back to the Flyers.
Okay. Hey, it's open.
It's open.
He should have a button. That should be in your sound. That's going to be the new sound.
My new sound bite. It's open.
But it's got to be off. It's got to be off mic.
It's open.
It can't be on mic. It's got to be
Somebody's
off.
Somebody's coming up. I don't know who it is. I think it's a model.
I hope it's a model. That or it's Mike O'Neill.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that might be her.
Usually when O'Neill shows up, there's a model close behind.
Yeah, you're right there. So, Holmgren.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I don't know him that
Thanks.
Well.
Thanks. Hold on.
No, I was going to say, I don't know him that well. I was going to tell you, elaborate
you
on him.
You don't need to know him that well to know everything there is to know about him.
Okay.
All right. Part of the family.
Organization.
Organization.
Okay.
How does he still have a fucking job?
Ed Snyder gave him a lifetime job in his will.
Okay, so have him clean the fucking locker room. Mm-hmm. All right. And guess what? Ed's dead. Bye. See ya.
Yeah,
we can go off South Philly and knock him off.
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Well, now it's recorded, so.
The views and we're just kidding out there, Mr. Holmgren.
Send him to the upper level.
We're just kidding about knocking you off. However, you do suck.
Our big supporter of the show is away for 9 months, so when he comes out in 9 months, maybe we can talk to him when he's back in Florida.
Who's that?
Bajor Molino.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big – he follows – I've been trying to get him on forever. He follows the show.
Pops, what's up?
But I can't get him in. All right, I can get out now. Pops can take the seat now.
You want to take it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got 3 hours of radio show to do.
All right.
Pops, there you go. I can go mingle.
Yeah.
Oh, great, which means he's just going to do nothing except scare the girls away.
I was going to have you put those on. No, drink all your
beer. Will you tell Connie two models 15 minutes out, one 20 minutes out, and the rest are coming at 7?
Yeah, I should be able to.
Pops, quit messing with that microphone.
Okay.
Jesus. You're late.
Yeah, he has stuff to do. He's got kids and stuff.
That's okay.
Well, I actually took a 4-hour block with Amazon.
I don't know what that is.
Delivering packages.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Well, yeah. I'm the delivery man.
All right.
Do you slow down when you throw him out of your window?
We threw Diaz off the balcony.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, Diaz he played us close. He's at the Sixers Knicks game.
Yeah, he said he wasn't gonna be able to show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played it, but we tried to get him in. We tried to make an executive decision.
Shame too, because it's gonna be an ass fiesta in here.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, I know you hate that, Pops.
Oh,
yeah.
I think that was part of the decision why he went to the stadium tonight.
Maybe that decision was not made by him. Hey, Abby, how are you?
More
hey,
love you.
More
booty for me.
We're not going to spend too much more time on the Flyers, but
yeah.
The problem that I have is now there is an automatic 3 to 4 year ad for the rebuild of the rebuild.
Yeah.
And it's just the same fucking story every time. Now, you're talking about a team in 2010 that was a game away from winning the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
I don't consider that team one that was built to win a championship.
Right.
All right. They were playing out of their minds. You had Michael Layton, who played well beyond his capability. But you found out at the very end, you know, he took a goal from a 5-degree angle that lost the championship for him.
All
right. That's part of your problem,
right,
Paul. All right. It ain't Mr. Holmgren. Right. I don't work for the organization. I've been sponsoring you guys for years, and you suck. Right? The only other teams that were built to win were the teams in the mid-'80s when Hextall came in and was playing out of his mind, and the Lindros era.
Yeah,
and the only time you found out, you know, as soon as they went up against a team that had any fucking brass, who three goals, I think, the entire fucking championship in 98, right? And Rod Brind'Amour had two of them.
Exactly. It was bad. I was there around
that was
the time.
Awful. What was it, five games?
Yeah. Was it five or was it four?
I think it was four.
It was really bad, though.
We thought we were going to win one when Brind'Amour scored two in one game. And I think that was in the first period.
Yeah, because we, you know.
I don't remember all of it, but.
I will tell you, we was 3-13 that year. Eagles.
Man, that's a lot.
And you know what? You know what? There's the other thing. All right. Paul and the rest of the neophytes over at the Wells Fargo Center should be taking over hookers and cocaine to the Eagles over at the NovaCare Center. Because
that might work.
Well, They need to thank him for last year because this shit was bad last year.
Oh, yeah, and it was brewing, too, because it was
And the Eagles kept everybody's mind off of it.
Oh, did you see the one game where they had the light things and they started throwing the light things back on the ice when they was going to have
– No.
I was at the game.
Did you watch last night's game? You dropped the fucking 3-1 lead in the third.
In the middle of the third?
Yeah.
I watched it, and I was sitting there talking on the phone, and I was like, they better not let these – go! I was like, oh, son of – go! Oh, God!
Voracek said in an interview after the game that the Flyers got scared after that second goal.
Scared?
Scared. Mm. Scared.
If you're scared, call the police. What the fuck are you on the ice for?
That probably leads to the biggest issue. And we know as soon as the next GM comes in, Hextall's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, can you be a coach like that, really? Like, no. You're supposed to have a little bit of fire. You come out of North Dakota.
That's why I thought he was going to come with, because I knew he was fire and brimstone at North Dakota. He came here and came to turn to puff the magic dragon.
Oh, no, seriously, rainbow.
The fuck is wrong? No, because it's like
you just say puff the magic dragon.
Yeah, but I'm just saying
rainbows and fucking unicorns,
yeah,
man.
But I'm just saying it's like it just pissed me off to no end because I'm steady seeing stuff and I'm not seeing no fire and desire. I'm not seeing the Rick James.
Yeah. Ah, it's brutal.
It was bullshit.
Yeah, they go through the motions a lot of night.
Yeah.
And I think that's a direct reflection of how it is all the way up.
Yeah.
It's just like we got the seats filled most nights.
But they don't have the seats filled. Yeah, they're not selling shit right now.
But you guys know why that thing is going up the ladder? Because it's all in-house people. You don't, if you don't have nobody that's nobody in charge that's from the outside that's coming in that's going to get ready to be that asshole, it's going to be like, I didn't bring you here.
Right.
I don't give a fuck about you or your family.
Right.
No pun intended.
Right.
But it's like, we're here to win. We're here to put together a winning program. And if you're not part of that, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And you got to go. So that's why, like I was telling you, that's why you have to get rid of Markel folks. That's what got us into Markel folks. You have to get rid of all of the bullshit. Because if you have bullshit, nobody's going to want to come there. Because, yeah, you probably could build a nucleus with what you got, but you're going to need some outside help.
Well, the thing with Markel Fultz, you got to realize it was.
And I think we're going to transition into the Sixers right now.
But it's like, you know,
let's make that a segue right now. Hey, Flyers, good luck. We'll see you again in 4 years. And
I'm still going to be watching, guys.
Holmgren, thanks for the continued fuck-up of this franchise.
I'm still going to be watching. I'm still going to watch, though.
I'm going to watch, but I'm not going to buy another fucking ticket to see a Flyers game until he's out of his position.
I don't know if I go there, because they have awesome games.
Yeah, well,
sometimes.
Whatever. So, we have Markel Fultz and we have Jimmy Butler.
That's right.
Talk about a fucking experiment in extremes, huh?
Well, Jimmy Butler was supportive of him. Said, you know, they want to see him do good. I don't know if that was...
He's just saying the right shit right now.
I mean, well, you know, he wasn't saying the right things in Minnesota, so, I mean, he's probably shooting from the hip on what he really realistically wants to see.
Well, you know why he wasn't saying the right stuff in Minnesota, right, don't you?
No.
Both of them motherfuckers ain't got paid.
You talking about Towns?
Both of them motherfuckers ain't got paid. Well, max contracts.
Well, you got to also realize Jimmy Butler.
We're going Southern brother right now. But I can't enter this conversation. I've got nothing.
But Jimmy Butler also turned down the max.
Yeah, he did. He said, but
so
yeah,
there's no butt behind
no,
that.
No.
They say
no.
Max.
No, see what I'm saying is,
when you have them, go.
Okay, when you have those guys and they're not producing the way they should be producing, and you can turn around and give them the max contract, he's like, what the fuck are you trying to do? Are you trying to win? Are you just trying to look good and flashy?
How did he end up in Minnesota?
He got traded there.
Oh, okay. I guess
Thibodeau boy.
Yeah,
he does real good. But you know, the thing that I was hoping that he did was come in and make him have some onus for his work.
Yeah,
but it's like this,
I mean, at the end of the day, you got to realize they got rid of him after two. You can't say that it was a bad experiment because look how long it took to get rid of Okafor.
Right.
Look how long it took to get rid of Nerlens Noel they had to realize Nerlens Wells was no good at all.
But it's not good. But the two guys that you were talking about, both of those guys were able to get on the court. Both of those guys were willing to go out there and play. Neither one of those guys had their lawyer
both
call.
Both of them missed their first year, didn't they?
No, Nerlens did.
Nerlens was hurt.
Nerlens did. Okafor
played.
Okafor played.
Yeah, but he got hurt at the end of the season when they should have been trying to trade him.
When they were actually trying to get rid of him.
I mean, the bottom line is with a first-round pick, you don't know if you're going to hit a home run all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the
thing. You want to know why?
God.
Like you got to go out and fucking scout and quit picking up kids. Quit picking up kids at the fucking playground. Go out and scout the motherfuckers that's out there that who got potential that you're going to pay. And then those kids, you quit bringing that shit up here. It looks like a pickup game at a YMCA sometime out there.
Maybe he didn't fit what they wanted to do. That's all.
What the fuck is he going to fit? They gave him the starting job and he lost it.
I think it's more of a mental thing. I just think it's all mental. About mental. That's what I think it is.
Well, that's what you're trying to say, Hollis, is that they need men. They don't need boys.
Yeah, thank you. Because this is what I understand what you're
all
saying.
All of them 19, 20 years
yeah, but
old.
Yeah, but I'm saying this is like, okay.
They're still boys. They're not men yet.
But peep this though. It's like, okay, you're trying to build an organization. You're trying to say you're in your fifth or sixth year. You're a budding star. You get the max deal from anybody in the league. But they got all these young motherfuckers. They start talking about building. And are you going there?
Yeah, but you got to realize though.
Are you going there?
Their nucleus and core has been here 3 to 4 years max.
Yeah.
You know, the only person that they got that was considered old at the time was JJ Redick.
Yeah.
And JJ Redick, they gave him $23 million for one year. And then brought him back for 11. You know, a lot less.
And he's worth the money.
The money now, but last year you had to overpay.
Why? Because he was coming from somewhere else.
They had to bring
him before last year, we sucked.
We sucked big time, dude.
But still, JJ Redick.
I know what you're saying.
I
love the look Pops is giving me. It's a great look.
JJ Redick, seriously?
I said the same thing.
I'm not buying that.
But I said the same thing. But see, I've been in a... I've been in free agency before.
I understand
where they've overpaid people to come somewhere. It's like when you look at it, though, I don't like the way the kid is going about these things, and he's showing no evidence whatsoever that he's ever going to get it.
Right, that's fine. That's why they're going to move on. Yeah. They've already acknowledged that, and now they're going to move on. Yeah. Now, whether or not they can trade for something worth that, we'll see.
So, Pops, what do you think they should do? You think they should cut him or see if they can trade him? And just keep him lingering there.
Well, I mean, I feel like if they're willing to work with him, I mean, they still have him for a year if they can't get anything for him. If Chuck Taylor's in a headband. Right. So if they can't move him or get another piece to replace him on the roster spot, you might as well keep him to see what he got even coming off the bench because we know he's not going to start. Mm-hmm. If he can build a
Pops, this is why he's pissing me off. Is because he said his lawyers, not his agent, they saying that he's not going to play until they found out what's happening with his shoulder and wrist. Now, first of all, if it wasn't shit wrong with your wrist when
he
you
might
start,
be jerking off.
I know he might be sitting to the left.
He realized that if your
organization. You want everybody's fucking lawyer coming there trying to tell you when they're going to play?
Hey, it made it a lot easier for them instead of them having to pull the trigger.
That is true.
Like say it happens to where it's kind of like prime example. Look at Cleveland.
Right. Oh, my God.
Derrick Rose should have still been there. Had Derrick Rose stayed there and played, you know, who knows what could have possibly happened.
Yeah.
You know, he put up, 50 points about a month ago?
Twice. So he put up 50 points. Derrick Rose.
He put up 50 points.
Like twice.
No, he put up 50, then 30, 34.
50, 34, then 40 something. Because I saw the 40 some game. They ended up losing. He just got on fire. Well, I think, you always think somebody's gone. But it's like with basketball, it takes you a while to get back to some respectability. And I've seen that with a bunch of players where it's like for a long time, Marcus Camby was horror fucking ball. he didn't know what the fuck he was or what he was going to do. Who?
I said, what's changed?
But no, he found his niche. Like later on, he found his role.
His role.
It's like you see cats coming out of college and stuff, and they be killing in college. Then all of a sudden they get in the pros, and a cats you don't even know about, like Vince Carter. When Vince Carter's coming out of college, nobody really had heard of Vince Carter.
Oh, yes, we did. I don't know what you were watching.
He was
but
to
I remember
the
shimmy.
Jordan.
The shimmy coming down the court. I remember that.
Well, no,
I love the dynamic.
I don't know what he was looking at.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was on everyone's radar as far as I thought.
I think it was in the tournament. I know it was in the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's what you make money at the tournament.
Was it Antoine Jameson?
Antoine Jameson, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was him and Antoine Jameson. But see, that's what I'm saying was they was touting Antoine Jameson higher than Vince Carter.
Yeah, and rightfully so at the time.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But
Vince Carter, I mean, but he made his name for himself, of course, with the dunk out. Yeah. I mean, but you know, we knew he wasn't going to be Harold Miner,
Devin Mitchell,
somebody like that, or somebody.
Devin Mitchell,
who
Mitchell kid.
Donovan
Mitchell. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell.
The Ritz-Carlton was on Broad Street.
It's right around the corner.
It's on Market.
On the Market.
Ritz.
Your mic's going.
It's right by the Wanamaker building, so it's very close to City Hall. So yeah. But I believe it's on Market.
Yeah. Right, it's kind of like on that circle.
It's right in the corner.
No, it's on Broad. It's on Broad. He's right. It's actually across the street. It's Avenue of the States.
Avenue of the Arts is Broad Street.
Yeah.
South of City Hall.
Well, where did it come from? What?
Yeah. Well, that our we're navigating our guest here.
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. I don't know what he's doing because he's got seven models coming in. He's got Mike O'Neill coming in. I don't know where the hell he's coming from. He's doing 15 things at once over there.
I just work here. I just work here.
To figure out
your mic's going off.
You keep turning it off.
What about those? What about one of those?
Yeah, one of those other mics.
We got it clean.
Okay.
For when our guest our guest gets here, so okay. It's nice and clean.
Is it because okay. I was that's on that perfect. Couch?
No,
that's past not couple why. Weeks.
No, that's where you were, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Is that why you won't sit on a queue?
Because they fumigated it. Yeah, apparently you have fleas.
Hopefully that's the least I have.
Oh dear Lord, you are a sailor, aren't you?
That's a good day.
I am.
Oh dear Lord.
Yeah.
What? Come on, Rob, get that open.
Come on, Rob, get it together.
All right. Good
ride. I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to say.
Who?
But what do you propose they do with Markelle Fultz?
Well, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want them to trade him or get rid of him, but I want them to trade him quick so it's not lingering.
Rob,
it's not lingering like the like Coangelo thing, or lingering like we thought, we done an extensive search for a GM. Search for a GM. We had like what was 70, 80 days later.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time. And they go down the hall and say, "Hey, Brand, you want to
come sit in this chair for a minute?
Come sit in this chair for
Hollis,
a minute."
Hollis, out to sea, we say he should take a long walk off a short pier.
We hear you now. You sounded pretty good there.
That
your sultry voice is coming off.
That is awesome.
I don't know about that, but I said
that was a little too much.
Dinner two shows are blending again.
No, I do think that they should get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean
the best way to know how you know it is, and I know I'm just being anxious and overzealous, and I know it's a business, so you get what you can for them.
Yeah.
But if it's like,
as long as they don't try to ask for a second round or first round pick,
yeah, like a ransom.
Like, you serious?
Them. Yeah, somewhere they could dump the salary or get something for him.
Yeah, that's probably
who would trade him for a first round pick?
Nobody in their right damn mind.
That's ridiculous. If they're waiting around for that, that's going
to
be like, a long
way. We tried to trade him, so we have no choice but to play him.
Yeah, it's like, but I don't know. I still don't know.
The longer he sits in the stands, too, is his stock's got to go down a lot.
Well, and plus they can go ahead and charge him for a season ticket.
Now he's going to charge that, yeah.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, remember how long you said that?
40-something games? 42 games?
40.
Yeah, 40.
Yeah,
I love this dynamic with them. You guys are great.
They're fun, man.
Yeah.
This is a laugh minute. I love it.
You know. Yeah, appreciation.
I've been kind of sitting back, kind of like seeing how it was going to go.
I was trying to get him to where I had him when we switched over to you guys.
Yeah, but reason being is because, like, prime example, I noticed that a lot of people was barking and talking about different coaches that were missing from last year to this year. And I found an interesting stat. The guy John, that's in Minnesota, the offensive coordinator.
DeFilippo?
Yeah, you know he leads the league in passing?
Yep.
On third down attempts, he's at 68. Wait, I think it's 90% on third downs, 67% overall.
Even on third and short.
wait, another one. 68% in the red zone. And all three of those stats are top in the league.
What about Wright?
Right.
Frank Wright.
40-some points against, who was it?
They're doing a good job now.
But that's what I'm saying. But early on, they...
All right, so then let me ask you this about Frank Wright.
Okay.
Who's the running back?
Ooh.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Who's the running back?
Especially Frank Gore, was it?
Frank Gore? Frank Gore's in Minnesota.
That's right, he's Miami.
No,
Miami,
he's
yeah.
in Miami.
Miami, yeah. It's like, but exactly. and I understand what you said about it. It's like, but I think,
well, I know what happens now in this show when I'm not paying attention.
What's that?
It just rolls off. Rolls off a cliff.
Yeah, that's right.
Hard to host the show, isn't it?
No, it's easy to host a show. It's hard to let these guys just go and talk.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. No structure.
Yeah. The thing about Indianapolis is they got Andrew Luck there. It's always going to be pass, no matter what. So it's kind of hard to gauge.
Are we getting into football now?
Yeah, we're going to get into football. You think we should take a break?
Right, we're not. We're going to take a break right now. This break's coming to you by Miller Lite and Yards Brewery. And everybody, just so you know, it's always fun to hear this. It's open. You guys, we'll be back with the Sports Blizzard in a few minutes. All right, we're back in episode 5 of the Sports Blizzard. This next segment is brought to you by Bucks County Baseball Company, 422 Jeep Limerick, and all of the Cavanaugh's restaurants. By the way, Lynyrd Skynyrd will be down in Atlantic City next week. I think it's their farewell tour. I think they're traveling with the Marshall Tucker Band.
Correct.
Is that accurate? I didn't get which casino they were going to be at, though. It's got to be something like...
It's probably going to be one of the newer ones.
Yeah, I was going to say Borgata.
I want to say Borgata, too.
Yeah, but it may be Borgata, yeah.
My father groomed me on Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Ah. Did he groom you, or was you a twinkle in his eye?
My dad said I was the only one that was planned, and that's when he really started to enjoy bourbon, so I'm not quite sure. That being said, we've covered the Flyers and the
Bolts saga.
Yeah, the fire watch.
Basically, you're saying we've covered the turmoil, and let's go to something that's slightly uplifting, but we don't just know yet.
Yeah, well, slightly uplifting would be one Coach Shermer outthinking himself this week.
Well, I said he pulled the Andy Reid.
Well, I don't know about that, but he forgot who Saquon Barkley was in the second half.
Yeah, that's what Andy Reid did last year in the playoffs against the Tennessee Titans. He forgot who Kareem Hunt was.
Well,
in the second half, he did the same thing.
I don't know if you guys noticed, though, but it seemed like once they got that interception before
half. He's going to be coming over.
We keep talking.
Please hold.
Once they got the interception right before halftime, I think it brought a different attitude along with the defense. It seemed like it lit a fire under them a little bit.
I saw Malcolm. Yeah, it looked like he was trying to put the whole game on himself.
Well, he kind of had to because when the other guy went down, one of the other veterans went down, it was kind of like it was him and a bunch of young guys out there. So what they had to do, what he should have been doing was simplifying the coverages because the dumbasses he had out there at first hadn't been really getting the coverages anyway because you can't have guys running scot-free across the middle and expecting your defense to hold up or put it up any kind of resistance.
Of course, one of the biggest problems that a lot of people are not talking about is the missing of Rodney McLeod.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about people aren't talking about that. McLeod went down and it got very difficult.
It got difficult because the same exotic schemes that he's been putting out there, he hasn't changed them. And that could be the problem on the back end. The problem is when you
have a guy like Rodney McLeod, you get spoiled.
How many different topics did we go on while I was talking to the Uber driver?
None. We just started.
You
talking.
Sure?
Yeah, we stopped talking about it.
We stopped talking because you were talking extremely loud. We didn't have a call sheet or anything.
And you started talking loud.
I want to know why Saquon Barkley didn't play in the second half.
Samantha's coming. Oh. She's got now.
That's why you wanted to keep talking about Saquon. Oh, okay.
You want to go back to Saquon Barkley?
Well, I did stuff a couple times.
I think we got to stick to topics.
Okay.
We jump around a little bit.
Okay, we're on the Eagles.
All right, Saquon Barkley.
We're on the Eagles.
Well, I know that, but that's a broad spectrum, baby. we could be talking about the fucking rock group for all we know. That's how far offline this conversation could get.
If they're winning, we can.
Hell freezes over.
The band? Yeah, right?
There you go.
The Eagles have no answer for Saquon Barkley.
No, they didn't.
Well, they haven't. No. They didn't in the first game of the season.
No.
They didn't this Sunday.
Right.
Explain to me, Hollis, why Shermer goes and, what do you have, 4 carries in the second half?
Yeah, five. Is that
five.
Yeah, 5 total. Well, you want to know why? I'm going to give you a couple of prime examples. It's when you look at it, sometimes coaches think they are the smartest midget in the room.
Right.
And it goes across the board spectrum. Some a little less than others. Case in point, the year when the Cowboys went 13-3, you playing against Aaron Rodgers in the second half. Why are you still fucking throwing the ball? You are cramming the ball down their fucking throat. Why are you still throwing the ball? Case in point, last year in the playoffs, Big Red was with the Kansas City Chiefs, up 21 to fucking nothing. To Tennessee, 21-3 against the Titans. You got Kareem Hunt, the leading rusher in the NFL, kicking ass the entire first half. Oh, sorry, no tapping.
Sorry, no tapping, Hollis.
Then, I'm going to get you a towel.
Yeah. Well, then you go to the second half, and he gets two touches. Two. And are not carries. What are you doing? You think you're the smartest bitch in the room.
So that's
Pretty much what it is.
Pat just literally decided, okay, I'm going to outsmart everybody.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a weird dynamic, because I think all of us could get caught in that epiphany. Sorry about that.
And we just found out Kyle Korver going to the Jazz
for Alex Burke.
Well,
but what I was saying was a lot of times nobody's thinking we're going to do this. They're thinking we're going to run that person.
You think he was trying to be deceptive?
Exactly.
We're going to continue to go to Saquon, yet we're not.
Yeah, we're
they
not.
They did stuff Saquon a couple times in that second half.
Yeah, but you still.
But I mean, you still go back to him because he gashed the hell out of us in the first game.
You make them respect it. That's the thing. A lot of people don't have the fortitude, the testicle fortitude, to make them respect what the fuck you're doing. And until you do
so
that.
So is Smash Mouth football gone?
Smash Mouth football will never be gone. You want to know why? Because
tell me who plays it.
Everybody plays in the playoffs.
Smash Mouth football.
Smash Mouth. Yes. How do we win a fucking Super Bowl? How do we win a Super Bowl during the playoffs? We led the league in rushing. We led the league in IT.
Oh, you're saying the Super Bowl, or how did we win the Super Bowl?
We still kept them off balance by throwing the ball, by running the ball. You can't not run the ball.
I think Pops knows. I'm on a different train of
thought. I know you're on a different train of thought.
You're talking about between the tackles, right?
I'm talking about taking and putting the ball in your running back's hands, giving him 25 to 30 carries a game, running between the tackles, north and south, putting his fucking head down, which you obviously can't anymore, but just controlling the game. And the clock that way.
Well, if you go look at Seattle,
Go
ahead.
When was the last running? Okay, now I know that we have a lot of running back tandems in the league now.
It's going to be no more than what you're talking about.
Let me get the question out.
First time. Hollis just got muted.
I know what it's like, Hollis.
I don't care. When
was the last time you've seen one single running back get 25 to 30 carries in a game? It's very, very rare.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Ezekiel.
Maybe Marshawn Lynch.
Yep.
Okay. Obviously the Raiders are doing well.
But I know what you're saying. It's not working. You know why they're going away from that? Because they feel like that 1-2 punch. There's one guy's going to get 20 carries, and that's going to be your bull. But you got to have that change of pace back. Put it this way. I'm gonna give you a scenario. Just peep this scenario. Okay, I'm the defensive tackle, and I'll be getting blasted. But running the ball. I'm not paying attention. Then I got my head down, and you got your fucking scat back in there. I look up, and instead of getting on my motherfucking horse, I got on my shit diggers, because I think he coming to knock the shit out of me. So next thing I look up, he on the edge, and we in fucking trouble.
And I think that's exactly what helped us on Sunday, was the fact that we started to run the ball more, so those D linemen started to have to plan for that.
22 carries. If you look at and that was another reason Saquon Barkley couldn't get it going, for the simple fact that
they weren't on the field that often.
Right. Exactly. Because it was like, okay, they get a penalty.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it's 3rd and 19 for Eli Manning, and they have no choice but to pass the ball.
Exactly. Potentially one of the worst officiating games I've ever seen. Oh, my God. For both sides.
Seriously. No, it was assholes. And it's like the whack thing is if you notice, everybody, every show, or every media outlet is talking about the fucking referees. They should, the people that see the players, the referees should be seen, not heard. It's like and they continue to take over games, and not only take over games but have plays in a game that decide the game is just horrible.
It seemed like they were trying to set the tone for the game early.
Yeah.
They were just calling everything, and then it went to like calling really awful stuff, missing blatant calls.
I mean,
missing face mask calls.
It kind of helped out because
Do you think it was a – I thought it was a wash. You think it helped us?
It kind of helped us. It kind of hurt us. Yeah,
prime example on that Odell Beckham play.
Oh, yeah.
He grabbed him twice.
Yeah, he grabbed him twice. But we
blatantly.
And I chalked it up as the holding call against Kelsey was a holding call, but I thought it was weak as shit.
It was not that was not a holding call. That dude was going that way.
That was weak as shit.
That was weak as shit, yeah.
So I thought that was a wash there.
The day is like, you kind of don't know.
Alshon Jeffrey pass interference call
was horrible.
Completely ridiculous.
It was horrible.
They missed a face mask on Corey Clement.
Clement, yeah.
Well, they called
and they reviewed it.
Up, said, yeah. Oh, no, he didn't do that. He had his collar.
So I took that as a wash with the face mask that we got away with.
I thought he asked him could he get his chin strapped back.
Well, didn't they say during the game that officiating crew like called the most penalties in the league? So you knew that going in.
No, they still called the most penalties, but they missed a bunch of them.
Yeah.
They called a bunch of bullshit that really wasn't there, but then they also missed a bunch of them.
Now, do those crews stay together all year long, or do they mix it up game after game?
For some odd reason, they stay together all year long because you're graded up on that, and that's how you get the playoffs. So I think you're graded individually. So then the people who grade out the best, they're the ones who get the playoff games and eventually the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's bad.
Which is horrible because
they tried to do that with the Rams and Chiefs game and they completely blew it.
Yeah, that was horrible.
They said that was supposed to be the best.
Yeah, it was supposed to be an all-star crew.
No, they sucked ass. Yeah. When you look at it, you have to – if they don't – I think the reason why the referees are sucking is because it's too many fucking gray areas. A quarterback. This is my thing. A quarterback is the highest paid person on the field. He should be able to take a legal hit, not upside the head, and it shouldn't be in the knees. He should be able to get thrown to the ground or drove to the ground, and that's what he fucking works out for. And the hits on receivers, it has to be definitive because you can't tell me that because I'm going low and he ducks his head too, I hit him in the head, so I'm ejected for targeting. That's bullshit. Yeah,
it all goes back to the game. Who were we playing where Bennett got called for that?
Yeah, exactly.
Was that the other Giants game?
Yeah, it might have been the first Giants game.
It's just like Jenkins was saying. He goes, I don't know what to tell him.
Yeah.
You can't tell him anything.
Exactly.
What's he going
to
do?
Playing devil's advocate, not saying that I agree with it, the NFL wants to cover their ass because of what's happened to players. Now, you being a former player, do you understand what they're trying to do, or are they just trying to cover their ass?
They're trying to get some money from you.
Okay.
Trying to get you fined and get some money from you.
So they really don't care about players. They don't care about player safety.
If you thought they gave a fuck about you, why are there still people waiting to who are in extreme need of concussion money? They're still waiting because of the bullshit and red tape that they got those guys.
And I think that's what he was touching upon. I feel like since it's been that extreme and it's been known of the injuries and long-term effects of the sport itself, yes, they're trying to cover their behinds now.
Yeah, they're trying to
say, okay, now that's happened, we're ready to go ahead and do our settlement, and then moving forward, it will be no more money given out for this particular cause because we have taken the proper steps in order to prevent it from happening.
That's what should be happening anyway because you have to address the issue, one. And it's like when you address the issue, you can't like just start making up rules and stuff to try to protect yourself now. It's like because we know the problem, you just have to make sure that you recognize the problem as we do, get our ass out of there and get us healed instead of fucking up the game.
Yeah.
Because this is what's happening. You're fucking up the game. It's no hard hits. Everybody's tiddlywinking around.
So, did you say tiddlywinking?
Tiddlywinking around.
How do you spell that?
Titty wink.
Titty winking?
Yeah, titty winking around.
Is there an L in there?
Tiddly.
Tiddly?
Yeah, T-I-T-T-Y-L.
There was a lot of that just walking by.
So do you guys like where Josh Adams is going? Because I think he's building a lot of confidence.
Josh Adams.
Yeah. I like where he's going.
701. I think you said Josh Evans. Didn't you hear that?
Slip of the lip, I guess. It was got a heavy hand like Ike Turner. You guys are old enough to get that.
Ike and Tina. Take it back together.
Wow.
So what good things came out of Sunday?
A win.
Besides that?
Running the ball.
Yeah, running the ball. Actually.
I'm running around.
Go
you
ahead.
Guys
okay,
know.
Go ahead.
That's okay. Go ahead.
What? Do you find it odd that an offensive line has to go to your head coach and say, dude, keep running the fucking ball.
Has that happened?
Yeah, it
that
happened. That's
happened
what
on
happened.
Sunday.
Yeah, on Sunday.
It happens plenty of times.
It happens plenty of times. Actually, you know what the funny thing is? Hold on, my bad, Pop. The funny thing is offensive line, any fucking body that plays football knows the easiest thing, and every offensive lineman know, we want to maul their ass so they don't to get them tired. So when we do pass, it's fucking easy.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole trick.
Yeah.
I mean, and, it's like and I'm okay with sacrificing a decent amount of runs
right.
for not a lot of points in
right.
the first quarter. So you got 350-pound guys chopping at your fucking thighs.
Exactly.
Pass blocking is exhausting yeah. if you're doing it the whole game.
Yeah, and then hold on. Pass blocking and the guy on the other side, knowing that you have to pass block, and they're rolling it with somebody else.
Yeah. Right.
Stunting. And then, no, their yeah. first move is backing up anyway.
And just a quick note coming up on the Rob V Show. Samantha Saint is 5 minutes out.
Oh, okay, cool.
So
good things.
Another thing I liked was Jake Elliott is, did I pronounce that right?
Did you, Jake Elliott, really?
I thought you said Jack.
Oh, jeez. Here we go. I liked that he needed a game where he can get some confidence back.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I think
and
that
I'm
was
glad
huge.
He got that
it was
kick
big,
at the
big,
end.
It was big. Because he hits all the 50-plus yarders, but then he fucks up on the ones
or
that
the
he,
extra points.
He's, extra points on the ones dying. That he got.
And yeah. 50 yarders, like, oh, he's got this,
no
and then
pressure.
An extra point, you're like biting your nails.
Well,
okay,
I
Jake.
I think
yeah.
the reason
Jake.
Behind that is because there's really no pressure behind a 50-plus yard field goal kick for the simple fact that if he misses like
Have you seen this guy?
No, I haven't seen
him. He's the size of
O'Neal. He is the biggest dwarf in the room.
Yeah, he is the biggest dwarf in the room. And the funny part is, it's like I started not having any confidence in him because not only was he missing extra points, but he just was missing the routine field goals that was like
yeah.
between 35 and 45
right.
yards. And I was like, we need those points for late in the game.
Well, he probably missed a couple of extra points and then got in the mental mindset right. yeah. that, oh, my God, I'm in that territory
yes.
again.
Boom. As long as
but when he gets back and he's just booting the shit out of
yeah.
the ball – he's hitting it pure and oh, my God.
Oh.
Jenny. Excuse me, miss.
And we are off on different
Come subjects. On in real quick.
And we're on different subjects.
Oh, my God, you're amazing.
Hi.
Hello.
She smells like vanilla.
She could smell like a sewer rat, and she's allowed in this studio.
The creepometer just went up, Rex.
Before she you start like, shooting in a couple minutes, I got something you got to sign. But you do look fantastic.
She smells like,
thank you so
she
much
smells
for
like vanilla.
Did you just say
she smells like vanilla? Mm.
Oh.
Who do you think said it? Who do you think said it?
She smells like the inside of my mama purse.
So one thing, like Hollis, to go back to what you said a few weeks ago about the character that you were hoping would show up at the Saints game, and
right.
it didn't. But I'm hoping that this win, even though Shermer bit himself in the ass, I'm thinking that the confidence that they got in this game might be something big for us this week, where you have Jake Elliott, the O-line, Josh Adams. Did I say it right that
yeah,
time?
Yeah, you said this.
So where those guys are building their confidence back, and that's
you know
what we need.
You know what I think it built? I think it built a bridge between the fucking players and the coaches because the coaches kept on doing all that complicated shit. It's
yeah.
like you don't have the same players out there. Ryan McLeod is not coming off IR.
Right.
It's like you have all those young kids out there. You have to simplify shit.
And then more than anything else, it also built the identity for exactly – what they should be trying to do.
Exactly.
Because if you look at the second half of that game, we talk about the running game and everything else. Mm-hmm. It kept the defense off the field.
Yeah.
So and regardless of how bad they yeah. are, there's one thing about certain teams. If you go about like 10 points or
right.
two scores and you have the ball,
right.
if you run the clock out or put together a five-minute drive without even scoring, it doesn't matter because there won't be much time left for anything.
Yeah, and the opposing team has to shit can their game plan and go to doing something else because I had the same argument with fucking Rob not with Rob Cherry because he said, "Well, the defense hasn't been doing that." I was like, "Well, if you go in there after we just gave up an 8-play drive and gave up a field goal and you go on the field for 30 seconds throwing 3 fucking passes and you put me back out there, chances are they finna score again and they finna score quick, fast, in a fucking hurry,
yes.
and we behind the 8-ball."
So that's the other thing that maybe Dougie P got a little more confidence too because it wasn't Andy Reid 2.0 with poor clock management.
Yeah, I don't think
Dougie's had clock management.
Yeah, I don't think he's not clock management. I just think sometimes and sometimes it could be. I think it was Carson Preston a little bit and trying to be the hero because I mean you got to know human nature is going to let you know that. okay, I got my backup quarterback. He's a Super Bowl MVP. He put the I got hurt last year. He put the team on his shoulders and took us and won us the Super Bowl. It's like now I'm pressing. So like every RPO is a straight pass, even though you see run, even though you see six or seven in the box and yeah. you see run, but every RPO is a pass because you're trying to be the hero.
Has Mike Groh been kind of pushed up to the wayside?
Well, Mike Groh should be pushed to the wayside. I don't know if you
he
should
be pushed in front of a truck.
Yeah, I don't know if you know he was a passing coordinator for the Rams in 2016, and the Rams with Jared Goff's first year, and they were ranked 31st.
Yeah, they were awful,
really
horrible.
Yeah. So is he a Jeff Fisher disciple?
Yeah, he's a Jeff Fisher disciple. He's a fucking
that explains
QB killer.
Maybe you should have went with that.
Yeah,
to the Rams itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, he was hard. And then the thing that pisses me off is this stuff that he keeps saying in front of everybody. This kind of is the divisive and dividing statements. The statement early on in the Tennessee game, we were ahead. I was like, but if you scored a touchdown after you ran down the field and then threw three passes inside the 10-yard line instead of trying to run,
right,
yeah, you know. So it's like saying shit like that makes me not think of him as a team player.
Not at all.
Yeah. So. And other than that, things were pretty sweet.
What do you think about Monday? Let's talk about some predictions, not necessarily scores.
Yeah.
By the way, I predicted that the Green Legion would win the tailgate 1-0.
You won?
We won.
I know, I won too.
Yeah, I know you did.
I'm always winning. Well, I think.
What about the Redskins scares you?
The tight ends
scare me, but I don't. They don't scare me to the point where, because I think they're too emotional.
You have to be careful.
Yeah, you have to be careful, though, too.
You have to be careful.
What about the old man? Knees are still holding up pretty well.
Yeah, that too. But they're missing three or four offensive linemen.
But you,
are they really?
No, two.
That's who I'm afraid of.
Trent Williams came back. I mean, it's not a thing of that. But the reason I say that may not be a factor because you expect him to run the ball. You expect him to run the ball because you don't really have
Colt McCoy didn't look terrible.
He didn't look terrible.
He didn't look good.
But also, he didn't have a whole week of practice either.
And they didn't.
That's true.
They didn't expect. They probably didn't expect him to throw.
Where was McCoy at before
Cleveland?
He was Cleveland.
Remember Harrison leveled.
He was. He's with Cleveland. He's been with Cleveland. He's been with. I want to say the Texans. And
he's been a little bit of all.
He's been a little bit all over.
We want to get your take on this one, Hollis.
Okay.
Switching gears just a hair, but what did you think about the Baker Mayfield snub at the end of the game against Cincinnati with Hugh Jackson?
He did what he's supposed to do.
I agree.
He did what he's supposed to. You playing for the opposing squad. You for the opposing squad. I don't want to say shit.
No, that I think Hugh Jackson held him back.
Yeah, that too. Because it was one of those things where he felt like Hugh Jackson just didn't want him to start.
We know Baker's got a giant chip on his shoulder.
But yeah,
that hasn't gone away.
But
he filled in a little bit.
Yeah,
that's
but
about it.
It's on a rival though too. He's on the rival. Yeah. You know, that's I don't know if you know about the rival there.
Yeah.
Paul Brown went and formed the Cincinnati Bengals he was one of the part owner and head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
I did not know.
They fired him as head coach, so Art Modell kind of ushered him out, and so he went and formed the Cincinnati Bengals. Made the uniforms exactly like theirs, and just added the Bengals across the red, across the orange helmet, just to mock them.
Did not know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
You
didn't
know history here.
Did you know that Paul Brown Stadium, all the seats are green because the owner's too cheap to pay for the extra dye to make them orange?
Yep. I do know that too. He's a cheap bastard.
Fucking yeah. Hey,
and
man.
It's like
what can Brown do for you? I'm Rick James.
Nice. That was coming out. Pops, what did you eat today? Because you got a little funny in you. I like this.
Just a regular meal.
All right.
There weren't any funny brownies in those packages tonight.
No,
right?
Nah, he doesn't do that.
Nah, never that.
No.
No,
wow.
I guess for this game, I don't know. I mean, honestly, like he said, he didn't have a full week of practice and everything was kind of like quick. But you know, I'm expecting it to be a lot closer than almost as soon as it was this past Sunday.
Rob,
and we're on Monday night, right?
Yeah, we're on Monday night. Yeah, so it's because that ought to give everybody time more a little bit more time to lick their wounds and see what's up. And I feel like we should do a little bit better. I feel like it may be a 7-point game.
And we got to get some cornerbacks.
Yeah, we got to get some cornerbacks back.
They're
yeah,
just dropping like flies.
And well, not Sydney and Jalen are supposed to be playing. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, who gives a fuck about them?
Yeah,
I hear you. I'm like you say. I like them. They're okay. But they haven't shown me anything this year.
They haven't shown you anything?
They haven't shown me a damn thing this year.
All?
They haven't shown me a motherfucking thing this year. Not a damn thing.
We got the
I'm literally going to soundproof your desk.
Sorry. I need, but sometimes when I'm making a point.
A towel right there.
Yeah.
Sorry. When I'm making a point.
You got a fucking fan and a towel. Tap that. Tap the towel. I'm going to get you. No, I'm going to get you big, thick gloves.
I'm going to make it a motherfucking point now. So look here, bitch.
No. You also know that the Washington claim, I don't think.
Foster.
He's not going to
get to play. He
can't play.
No, he can't play now. But it's like, you know what? We asked me what scares me is their defense scares me just a little bit. If we come out bullshitting and shoo-shooing like we have in a couple of other games, then they may get on top of us and may score some points.
Every first quarter we've played this season?
Yeah, because DJ Swearinger.
DJ Swearinger, he's a beast.
He's a little upset, too, about their performance they put up against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So they may
they may come out to try to prove a motherfucking point.
Yes.
We don't have any choice this week.
No, we don't. They don't
I
have a
choice. I think
they
lost a little wind out of their sails, but you know it's going to be a dogfight like it always is in the NFC East.
Yeah, but it's one last thing I have. We cannot think that we just going to go out there and roll the old Eagle helmet out there and win.
Why not?
We have to go out there and we have to put our motherfucking foot on their throat and then reach and grab and snatch the jugular.
We need to play four quarters for the first time this year, and we need to start.
Well,
for
that starts
season.
With the first quarter.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And if they don't come out strong,
three points this past.
Like, well,
set
I mean,
the tone.
You well, not only set the tone, you can win the game in the first quarter.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Just by blanking the Redskins and putting up 10.
Yeah.
Put up 10, 10-0 in the first quarter, you win that game.
Yeah.
No, you have to put up more.
You have to put up some more points.
If your defense blanks the Redskins and gets to McCoy, you win that game. There's going to be no momentum for moving forward.
Yeah, if they get to McCoy, it's going to be a day.
But like you guys had pointed out a couple weeks ago and last week, you got to get the offense and the defense playing in the same fucking quarter.
Yeah. At the same time.
Something.
And like Hollis is saying, you got to keep the foot on the throat.
Yep.
We could beat them with 10 points in the first quarter, but you can't just lay back. You got to play four quarters, and they haven't done that this year.
Yeah.
They're trying to play catch up the whole game. What was our lead like for 4 or 5 minutes?
Whatever, it lasts forever.
I get that, but what I'm saying is like. Every game we're coming from behind.
When I
every
behind game it was like 19-3 at half.
Yeah.
I mean, it was about to be 22-3.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, our studio just got a whole lot better looking.
A little perkier.
Hey. How are you, Samantha?
That was interesting.
Well, that's
well, it's been real.
On that note,
this is pretty impressive.
We've been listening to the
Sports Blizzard. I'm not quite sure there's any reason for the Sports Blizzard to continue.
This is Tank Koppel.
Yeah. No,
Tank Koppel.
All right.
What's up?
Eagles, Redskins.
Eagles.
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 Redskins.
Oh.
You always have that one in
pull
the
room.
I just can't go with all of you.
I know.
That's
fine. Yeah. It's always one in the room, though.
I hear you. Everybody, we're going to wrap this segment up. I think the boys are going to all stay around for this next episode of the Rob V Show. Again, all of our sponsors on the Sports Blizzard, Miller Lite, Yards Brewery, Stateside Vodka right here in beautiful Fishtown, Bucks County Baseball Company, 422 Jeep Limerick, all the Cavanaugh's restaurants, Delilah's, Bourbon Blue, the Bayou and Cactus, the Manioc Sport and Social Club, and all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, Market East. Everybody, we are going to have a show again next week. However, I will not be here as I will be in the Cayman Islands.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So Rob's going to host the show next week.
Okay.
And you guys enjoy, and I'll be sending pictures so that you're all fucking puff.
I won't be because I'll come
I already am.
Yeah. You guys, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.